And members, if you go to the fiscal comparison spreadsheets in your binders. Go to the spreadsheets and who would like to start?
Mr. Chair, Cynthia Templin, House Fiscal Staff. You have a nine-page spreadsheet in front of you. The first page is just a summary page, and we will cover that page after we've reviewed the other pages. So we're going to wait on page one and go right to page two of the spreadsheet. And this is the tax revenues section of the spreadsheet for the bill. And I need to start out with the caveat that we always need to start with, is that all of the numbers that are positive on this spreadsheet reflect revenue gain, and negative numbers reflect revenue reductions. In addition, on this spreadsheet, we've also included for reference the governor's numbers. We will not be going through these numbers, but they are again included for reference. Starting on page two, again, line 21 is the income tax rate reductions for the bottom and the middle brackets. The cost in fiscal 12 and 13 is $221.2 million and $786.3 million in the fiscal 14 and 15 biennium. Moving to line 26, this is a modification to the R&D tax credit. This changes the tiers, the first tier and the second tier, and this is effective for tax year 11 and tax year 12. There's also a rate change. The cost of this, or the revenue reduction for this provision in fiscal 12 and 13, is $58.2 million and $70 million in fiscal 14 and 15. Moving to line 31, and Mr. Chair, if I'm going too fast and if members need more detail, please feel free to stop me. Again, line 31, this is the donation of food inventory, which allows a subtraction for contributions of food inventory for businesses other than C corporations. The revenue reduction for this provision is $650,000 in fiscal 12 and 13 and $600,000 in fiscal 14 and 15.
Mr. Chair and members, Susan Von Mosch with Senate Fiscal. On line 32, both the House and the Senate have a provision relating to negotiating income tax reciprocity that does not have any fiscal impact. On line 34, the Senate's provision on phased-in income tax subtraction for military retirement income has a cost of $11.2 million in fiscal years 12 and 13 and $24.2 million in fiscal years 14 and 15. On line 35 is the Senate provision modifying Minnesota's K-12 education tax credit to include tuition with a cost of $10.7 million in fiscal years 12 and 13 and $11 million in fiscal years 14 and 15. And then on line 36 is the Senate provision on the tax refund checkoff with money contributed going to the state budget reserve. This has an unknown cost simply because the Department of Revenue does not know how taxpayers would respond to this item. Summarizing the income tax and corporate tax change provisions on the Senate side of the spreadsheet, the items have a total cost of $21.9 million in fiscal years 12 and 13 and $35.2 million in fiscal years 14 and 15.
And Mr. Chair, for the House, the revenue reduction in fiscal 12 and 13 is $280 million in fiscal 12 and 13 again and $856.9 million in the fiscal 14 and 15 biennium.
Mr. Chair and members, the next section is the estate tax. The Senate has a provision on lines 34 through 35 related to qualified farm and small business property with a maximum exclusion of $4 million. You can see the line item breakouts by small business and by farm property. The total fiscal impact for fiscal year 12 and 13 is $7 million, and for fiscal years 14 and 15, it's $9 million.
And the House has no comparable provisions.
Thank you, Ms. Templin.
On page 3 of the spreadsheet, line 52, there is an exemption for ringtones for sales tax to maintain compliance with the streamlined sales tax use agreement. The cost is $410,000 in fiscal 12 and 13 and $390,000 in 14 and 15.
And, Mr. Chair, the Senate has the same provision.
On line 59 of the spreadsheet, there is a repeal of the refund requirement for capital equipment. This is effective in fiscal 14. The revenue reduction is $146.4 million in the 14 and 15 biennium. There, on line 60 of the spreadsheet, there is a sales tax exemption for water used for public safety services or used directly in providing public safety services. This is a retroactive provision. The cost is $180,000 in the 12 and 13 biennium and $115,000 in the 14-15 biennium.
And the Senate does not have either of those provisions. Oh, excuse me.
Ms. Templin?
Line 61 is the repeal of the payment date changes. This was the repeal of the accelerated payment dates for cash flow. There is no fiscal impact for this provision. On line 62 of the spreadsheet, there is changes made for streamlined sales and use tax conformity. This has no fiscal or revenue impact for fiscal 12 and 13 and 14 and 15.
And
Ms. Von Mosch.
Mr. Chair, the Senate does not have either of those provisions. On line 63, the Senate provides a sales tax exemption for townships with a cost of $1.9 million in fiscal years 12 and 13 and $2.2 million in fiscal years 14 and 15. On line 64, the Senate provides an exemption for commuter aircraft repair and maintenance parts for a cost of $2.1 million in fiscal years 12 and 13 and $2.2 million in 14 and 15. Moving down to line 65, the Senate provides an exemption for durable medical equipment with a cost of $6.6 million in fiscal years 12 and 13 and $7.6 million in fiscal years 14 and 15. On line 66, there is an exemption for the resale ticket purchases. That is pending a revenue estimate at this time. On line 67, there is an exemption for public safety radio systems. This is a retroactive provision that provides refunds for sales after December 31st, 2009 and before January 1, 2013, with the refunds being effective after January 1, 2013. The cost of this with that retroactive provision is a little over $17 million in fiscal years 14 and 15. That brings us to line 69 with a bottom line total for the sales tax portion of the spreadsheet on the Senate side of being approximately $11 million in fiscal year 12 and 13 and $29.43 million in fiscal year 14 and 15.
For the House, the bottom line for sales taxes is $590,000 in the fiscal 12-13 biennium and $146.9 million in the fiscal 14-15 biennium. Moving on to the statewide property tax, line 76 of the spreadsheet, there is a reduction in the state general levy for commercial industrial properties. In fiscal 12 and 13, there is a revenue reduction of $50.1 million and $66.5 million in fiscal 14 and 15. And this is effective for pay 2012.
Ms. Van Mosh?
On the Senate side, line 77 has a state levy reduction and phase out for both commercial, industrial, and for the cabin property. It has a cost of $114.9 million in fiscal year 12 and 13 and $282.3 million in 14 and 15.
Moving on to the minerals section. Line 82, there is a non-ferrous occupation tax, a rate reduction from 2.45% to 1.7%. There is a negligible fiscal revenue impact in fiscal 14 and 15.
Ms. Van Mosh.
Mr. Chair, on the Senate side, on line 82, there is a taconite occupation tax rate reduction that becomes effective in tax year 14 and has a cost of $1.35 million in fiscal years 14 and 15.
Ms. Templin.
Turning the page to page 4, there's the federal conformity section, and in this spreadsheet on line 97, the revenue impact of federal conformity in Chapter 8, that this was House File 79, Senate File 47. This was passed by the governor and became Chapter 8, and this is federal conformity for tax year 11. The House and the Senate both show the revenue impact just for reference. I don't know if we want to. Sure. To summarize, for total general fund tax revenue changes in the fiscal 12 and 13 biennium, for the House, there's $330.7 million in tax revenue reductions. And then in the fiscal 14 and 15 biennium, there's $1,770,305 in the fiscal 14 and 15 biennium.
And on the Senate side, for fiscal years 12 and 13, there is a $154.81 million in property tax relief or reductions. And in fiscal year 14 and 15, $357.3 million in reductions.
Michelle.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Kathy Schill, House Fiscal. The next few pages, we have tax spending on tax aids, credits, and refunds, starting on page 5 going through page 8. Once again, with the caveat, as you look at the spreadsheet, positive numbers are increases to program expenditures, and negative numbers are decreases to program savings or cost, program spending cost savings. The first section is property tax changes. In general, lines 1 through 12, you do not see massive amounts of changes, but we will go through these. Beginning on line 2, you see Representative David's bill with changes to 4C classification requirements. This is the 4C resorts of 20 or fewer units. The impact is negligible in fiscal 12 and 13, and once again, as it extends out, negligible for 14 and 15. On line 3, you see Representative Paul Anderson's bill with respect to the aggregate material tax for townships. This has a zero impact at the state level. Line 4, you see Representative Lemire's bill having to do with property tax late payment penalties and the modification that Mr. Hines talked about. Right now, the impact of this provision is unknown. There has been significant research on this to find out more information, concerns with impacts on school districts, but right now we have that information is still in process. Line number 5 is Representative Marquardt's provision for evaluation notice for when there is a change in classification of property that has zero impact.
And, Mr. Chair, the first Senate provision in this section is on line 6. It's the property tax classification reduction for certain expenditures of nonprofit community service organizations, and this has a negligible impact in 14 and 15. And on line 7 is the item that was referenced earlier that is the House File 12 that is currently in process related to Green Acres and Rural Preserves. And on line 8, there is a Senate provision on a Green Acres repeal denial process that does not have any fiscal impact.
Line 10 reflects Representative Detmer's amendment. It's a modification to House File 240 and provides a market value exclusion for certain disabled veterans. This is the expansion of the current benefit for surviving spouses. This is a PTR impact. In fiscal 12 and 13, there is a reduction of $10,000, and in 14 and 15, $140,000.
Mr. Chair, similarly on line 11 is the Senate provision modifying the duration limit for the homestead valuation exclusion for surviving spouses of disabled veterans. This is also a PTR impact with a savings of $100,000 in fiscal year 12 and 13 and $390,000 in 14 and 15.
And on line 12, Mr. Chair, this is the suspension of current county maintenance of efforts requirements. It's the same in both bills with no cost in either biennium. Moving to the property tax change section for local development. The first line, line 14, is Representative Barrett's bill for Taylor's Falls. This includes border city development zone powers, and the impact would be for cumulative tax reductions for all years, and this includes a number of different potential tax reduction, property tax, corporate franchise tax, sales tax exemptions. Over the time period, the cost is $100,000, and how the fiscal impact has been allocated, it's been over a 9-year period, averaging it out beginning in fiscal 13. So that's when you see the cost of $11,000 in fiscal 13 and the cost of $22,000 in 14 and 15. That's basically what those numbers reflect.
And the next item that does not have a line number is the Senate's City of Ramsey provision that is the TIF, Tax Increment Financing Border Change only, no fiscal impact.
And on line 15, with Representative Abler's bill, it's a broader bill, again, for the City of Ramsey's TIF district changes. This includes the boundary change, the waiver of the 4-year rule, and an allowable for use for land acquisition, and there's another provision there. Once again, at the state level, no fiscal impact.
Line 16 is the Senate's provision for tax increment financing for the City of Cohasset, no fiscal impact. And on line 17 is the Lino Lakes pooling extension provision. That provision is the same for the House and the Senate.
Agreed. Line 18, Representative David's bill. This is the pooled tax increments for housing replacement authorities. This is that 10% extension. Once again, at the state level, no fiscal impact.
On line 19 is the Senate provision extending the TIF deadline for economic development districts, no fiscal impact.
Michelle.
In line 20, we have Representative Nornes's bill, Fergus Falls, a new local option sales tax of 0.5%. This is the same in both bills. And the same situation, line 21, for Representative Szymanski and Senator Newman's bill for Hutchinson. Once again, a new local option sales tax provision at 0.5%. Moving down to line 22, this is Representative Lenchesky's bill for modifying the Hennepin County sales tax 0.15% provision. This is putting that cap of $20 million on, as provided for in current law. Line 23 is Representative Coonan's bill for local option sales tax. This is for Marshall. This is also a new provision, zero impact once again for each biennium.
And line 24 is the Lanesboro provision for a new local option sales tax. This is the same provision in the House and the Senate bill. And line 25 is Clearwater, which is the same provision in the Senate and the House bill. Line 26 is the Rochester provision. And while we have them listed on the same lines, you'll remember going through the summary that some of the amounts and the uses are slightly different between the two bills.
Line 27, Representative Fritz's bill for a local option sales tax for Medford, as Ms. Dalton said. This is new, a new provision to repay public facility authority loans.
Line 28 is the Hermantown provision, which is approximately the same in both bills. The Senate does require a local election before December 31st of 2012, whereas the House does not.
Line 29, Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy's bill with respect to a local option sales use of zip code study. This is a fiscal note related impact of $35,000 in fiscal 12 only. Actually, the fiscal note came to us somewhat late, and when we found the provision, the cost was in the vicinity of $68,000. This number at $35,000 scales it back to those cities that are having the most problem. And in consultation with Ms. Dalton, I understand that there are two or three cities that are really having a problem. And so that's what this $35,000 in fiscal 12 alone reflects. Line 30 is Representative Hilty's bill with respect to a local option sales tax for Cloquet. Once again, no fiscal impact in either biennium. Line 31 is Representative Marquardt's bill with respect to local government's prohibition from using local resources to support a local option sales tax promotion. This is the extension of existing law to May 2013. Once again, no fiscal impact in either biennium.
On line 32 is a provision related to an exemption for personal property of an electric generation facility located in Fairmont. This provision is in the same in the House and the Senate, and there is no fiscal impact.
Mr. Chair, line 33 is Representative Biskin's bill to eliminate property tax levy authority for regional rail authorities. What is going on here is that this change allows those levies to be done through the county commissioners and not really taking any levy authority away. The impact on the spreadsheet, once again, no state impact, actually no local impact as well.
Mr. Chair, on line 34 is a Senate provision increasing the holding period for tax-exempt property for economic development purposes. There's a negligible impact in fiscal year 13 and in fiscal years 14 and 15. And this brings us down to the summary line on line 35 for all of the property tax changes, which is $65,000 in fiscal year 12 and 13, and $320,000 in fiscal year 14 and 15 on the Senate side.
And on the House side, there is a positive, which means an increase in program spending of $71,000 in fiscal 12 and 13, and then in 14 and 15, there is a negative $48,000.
Moving on, Mr. Chair, to property tax refunds. In the Senate, on line 39 is one of the areas where the Senate is providing property tax relief through the homeowner property tax refund. We reduce the co-pays and increase the maximum refunds. And this has a cost of $44.3 million in FY 12 and 13 and $96.5 million in fiscal year 14 and 15.
Mr. Chair, sure. Line 40 is House File 982, which is actually a modification House File 130 that everyone is more familiar with. This particular item reduces the renter's property tax refund from 19% to 12% of rent paid. The cost in the House provision is a cost savings of $186.1 million in 12 and 13 and $191.5 million in 14 and 15.
And on the Senate side, on line 41, the reduction is from 19 to 15% for the renter's credit for a cost savings of $105.7 million in fiscal year 12 and 13 and $108.5 million in fiscal years 14 and 15.
Michelle?
Mr. Chair, the next two items reflected in lines 42 through 44 are identical for both the House and Senate. The first two reflect the repeal of the Sustainable Forest Investment Act. You'll see both the actual reduction amount plus the SFIA PTR interactions together on lines 42 and 43. Total is in the vicinity of cost savings of $31.4 million in fiscal 12 and 13 and a cost savings of $36.7 million in 14 and 15. And line 44, once again the same, this is the elimination of the political contribution refund cost savings in 12 and 13, $11.8 million, and in 14 and 15, savings of $12 million. Which brings us to line 45, the total changes to the tax refund section. In the House, the cost savings would be $229.3 million, and in 14 and 15, a cost savings of $240.1 million.
And Mr. Chair, in the Senate, the summary of the tax refund line items is a cost savings in fiscal years 12 and 13 of $104.5 or 6 million, and in fiscal years 14 and 15 of $60.6 million.
Mr. Chair, seeing no questions, we'll move to the property tax aids and credit section of the sheet. We start on line 48. Actually, lines 48 through 50 represent changes to PILT payments, payment in lieu of taxes. The House position you'll see on line 48, this is Representative Runback's bill, and basically we reduce PILT payments by 15%. You'll see the cost impact, cost savings of $7.8 million in 12 and 13 and $8.5 million in 14 and 15. There are PTR interactions that are not reflected in this line, but they are reflected further down the spreadsheet.
And Mr. Chair, on line 49, the Senate position is to take a 12% reduction in PILT for a savings of approximately $6.3 million in fiscal years 12 and 13 and about $7 million in fiscal years 14 and 15.
Michelle?
Mr. Chair, lines 51 through 54 are changes to the disparity reduction aid. The House and Senate each make changes and get cost savings, but we do it very differently. You'll see the House changes reflected on lines 51 and 52. Basically, we apply the change to all of the disparity reduction aid program. We realign the threshold at 105% and actually take a cost savings of 50% of certified Pay 11 levels. The cost savings associated with those changes, $9.2 million in 12 and 13, and once again, $9.2 million in 14 and 15.
On line 53, the Senate eliminates the disparity reduction aid for cities and towns beginning in pay 12 fiscal 13. That ends up providing a savings of about $10 million in each of the fiscal years involved.
Thank you.
Moving on to page 7 and lines 55 through 60, you will find changes to the local government aid program. Once again, the House and Senate make changes in this area, but make them very differently. What you'll see on line 55 is Representative Runback's version of changes to LGA that includes a modified version of House File 130 that we saw earlier in the year. The major difference here is the treatment of first-class cities and then making reductions permanent from fiscal 13 forward. You'll see the cost savings associated with these changes at $247.4 million in fiscal 12 and 13 and $452.1 million in 14 and 15.
And Mr. Chair, the Senate made its LGA reductions consistent with what was done in House File 130. That's what you see reflected on line 57. We also continued the provision for Houston, making an adjustment for the city of Houston. That ends up in fiscal year 12 and 13, resulting in a $203.6 million savings and a $201.3 million savings in fiscal years 14 and 15.
Mr. Chair, if I might add, the Senate accounts for the alignment with the City of Houston payment on the spreadsheet. We do the same thing, but it's incorporated in our number. So basically, we're both doing the same thing. We're kind of accounting for it differently. Actually,
Michelle.
Right. Mr. Chair and members, line 62 through 66 reflect changes in county program aid. You'll see that the House provision is only a little bit different when you look at fiscal 14 and 15. Fiscal 12, we are in alignment. A cost savings of $72.7 million in 12 and 13, and then the House saves the same amount. The Senate saves slightly less. And this is what you saw in House File 130 that we worked on earlier this year.
And I would concur.
I'm not sure either.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, moving on, lines 67 through 75 show changes in the market value credit and agricultural market value credit. You'll see on lines 68 and 69 the treatment for reductions to this program, market value credit, for the House and Senate are the same. Cost savings for cities, almost $48 million in fiscal 12 alone, and $56.1 million for counties. That's exactly what we had in House File 130. And then on line 70 through 71, you'll see changes, and we are the same on line 70 with respect to the conversion of the market value credit to a net tax capacity reduction. Cost savings there is $261.2 million in fiscal 12 and 13 and $538.6 million in fiscal 14 and 15. And line 71 is where we differ. The House repeals the market value credit reductions to towns in FY 12 only. And so we are putting money back in. We are spent eliminating that reduction, therefore, it's a cost of $4.8 million.
And Mr. Chair, the Senate position is the same for the reduction in the market value credit for cities and towns and in the conversion of the market value credit to the tax capacity reduction. But we do not do the repeal of the market value credit for towns in FY12. So that is the difference. And then that carries down to line 74, where there is a technical modification then to the agricultural market value credit that takes into account the changes made in line 71, and that accounts for the difference between the House and the Senate on those line items. Moving down to line 77, the Senate also reduces the border city disparity credit by reducing it by 25% each year in FY13 and beyond. This produces a savings of $1.5 million in FY12 and 13 and $7.7 million in FY14 and 15. The Senate eliminates the wetland reimbursement, which is a savings of $26,000 in both fiscal years 12 and 13 and 14 and 15. The Senate also eliminates the general fund payment of 22 cents per ton for the taconite state aid, producing a savings of $14.1 million in fiscal years 12 and 13 and $17 million in fiscal years 14 and 15.
Mr. Chair, lines 81 through 84 reflect changes that we have done that end up impacting the K-12 budget. And what you see on line 81 is because we've had a number of significant reductions, mostly market value credit and disparity reduction aid, you see this impact where the education budget is already assuming the education shift going from 90-10 to 70-30. So to make sure that their budget was kept whole, what we did is we show through this line the interaction with their assumptions for their budget. That implies for our budget to make sure that when we do these reductions, we also account for 70-30 in our calculations. So you see a cost of $12.6 million in fiscal 12 and 13, and then as we progress, it reduces to $514,000 in 14 and 15.
And on the Senate line item, the cost is $12 million in FY12 and 13 and $1.3 million in 14 and 15. But it's the same item that Kathy or Ms. Schill was just describing. Oh, Mr. Chair, on line 83 is an item where the Senate tax bill is carrying the interactions for the Senate education bill at $1.45 million in FY12 and 13 and $3.3 million in FY14 and 15. And for the total then for the property tax aids and credits changes, for the Senate in fiscal year 12 and 13 is $66.3 million in savings, and in FY14 and 15 is $857.5 million.
And Mr. Chair, the impact in the House, the cost savings for property tax aids and credit changes, $684.8 million in 12 and 13 and $1.09 billion in 14 and 15. Line 87 is Representative Holberg's amendment that extends current law levy limits two more years. This does not have a fiscal impact here, but there are the reflection of levy limits is included in the income and PTR interactions line 97 and 98.
And the Senate does not have a similar provision.
Michelle?
Mr. Chair, we are almost done. We are at the appropriations section. Lines 89 and 90, looks like both houses have an idea with local government innovation grants. The House funds for the fiscal 12 and 13 biennium only these grants at $3.2 million.
And the Senate has its local government consolidation grants at $3.5 million each year of the fiscal 12 and 13 biennium for a total of $7 million. I think I said billion before.
Michelle?
$7 million.
Line 91 is the cost impact of the Minnesota-Wisconsin benchmark study. You'll see differences in the numbers here. In the House version of the bill, we have actually written in the appropriation numbers at the end of the bill, which you see $330,000 for fiscal 12 and 13. Since the bill passed, we did get an update to a fiscal note, which actually reflects the amounts that are in the Senate version of the bill. So there's some accounting adjustments that we will need to make here. Line 92 is the same in both bills. This reflects the tax incidence study requirements to include federal funding provisions. And this is at $30,000 in each year, each biennium, 12, 13, and 14.
And, Mr. Chair, line 93 is the Senate provision with the administrative costs for the tax checkoff for proceeds going to the budget reserve of $141,000 in fiscal years 12 and 13 and $74,000 in fiscal years 14 and 15.
Mr. Chair, line 94 reflects the repeal of the refund requirement for capital equipment. This is Article 2 and Section 7 and 10, where you saw the fiscal impact actually going to beginning in fiscal 15. It's a cost savings of $140,000. And line 95 is Representative Mahoney's bill. This is a science and technology fund appropriation of $3 million in fiscal 12 and 13 and $7 million in fiscal 14 and 15. The subtotal for appropriations is $6.6 million in fiscal 12 and 13 for the House, and in fiscal 14 and 15, $6.9 million.
And the subtotal, Mr. Chair, for the Senate side in fiscal year 12 and 13 is $8 million, and in fiscal year 14 and 15 is $104,000. And then moving down to the next two line items, you see for both bills the summary of the property tax refund interactions and the income tax interactions, which are attributable to the aid and to the levy changes that are contained in the bill. And that brings us to a bottom line for the Senate in fiscal year 12 and 13 of $729.25 million in cost savings, $888.4 million in fiscal year 14-15 in cost savings.
Michelle?
And Mr. Chair, for the House, that total for all tax aids and credits proposals, cost savings, $877.3 million in fiscal 12 and 13, and for fiscal 14 and 15, $1,274.4 million in 14 and 15. The other lines on the sheet are just for calculation of funding, and they will be reflected in the summary sheet when we return back to that.
Mr. Chair, on page 9 of this spreadsheet, with your permission, we will not go through this page. This is just the, on the tax revenue side, there's interactions with non-general fund accounts, and this information, again, is contained on page 9 for your reference. We can go back to the beginning, the summary page. Again, for this page, again, the caveat. For this page, positive numbers show program spending or revenue reductions, and negative numbers show program savings or revenue gains. So, for example, on the House side, on line 3, again, to summarize, there's $330.7 million of tax revenue changes that have that have that are a cost, that are that reduce revenues. And in fiscal 14 and 15, there is $1,070,305,000 of revenue changes that are revenue reductions to the general fund.
With that, Ms. Templin, I think what we'll do is we'll let members take a look at the rest of that.
Okay.
We're on a hard break at 11. The Senate goes into session. So okay. I'm going to turn it over to Senator Ortman for a few comments about the next meeting, and then we'll have to adjourn. So members, if you have questions, we can ask those at the next meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just say thank you to all the staff that has worked so hard to prepare all this information. The House only equals the Senate, and the Senate equals the House. You all have done a very good job. I appreciate it so much. I do want to point out that there is complete agreement on ringtones. It may be the only line on the spreadsheet where the House and the Senate and the governor agree, but we have some agreement, so that's a benchmark for us. We will not convene again as a conference committee until after the break. We are kind of eyeing Tuesday morning after the break during our Senate tax time, which is normally 8:30. So 8:30 next Tuesday. But I would ask you to watch your emails. We'll try and get a notice out for sure by the end of the business on Monday, this coming Monday before break, to let you know if we're going to schedule a tax conference committee hearing for the following for a week from Tuesday. So that Tuesday following the Easter break. Nothing further, Mr.
Thank
Chair.
You, Senator Ortman. I, too, would like to thank everyone, House Research, Senate Research, the fiscal staffs, the Commissioner's Office, the pages for, I think, very nicely getting us prepared here as far as the items that they provided for us. So, as the Senator said, we have agreement between the Governor's Office, the House, and the Senate, complete agreement. On ringtone, so I think we're close to a deal here. A good government all the time. We are adjourned. What?